Thank you, Tom. Our lesson will be a little more simple than the one last evening. You know, to King David was accorded the privilege of assembling the materials for the temple. But to his son Solomon was accorded the privilege of construction, dedication, ordering of the temple and its services. This began with an arrangement with Hiram, king of Tyre, for the cedars of Lebanon and for craftsmen. So it has been that those of the world have had something to do with the shaping of the stones of the antitypical temple. Even as we are in the world, we receive their cutting, their shaping, and polishing. Every detail was carefully and magnificently crafted. The floor plan does not nearly reveal the glory of this edifice. The temple itself was surrounded by an inner court, chambers, a middle court, colonnades on the outer court, and finally by an outer wall with all its gates and security system. It was a glory to behold from the outside, but few could behold the glory from the inner court. Then fewer still had access to the inner sanctuary. First it was the holy, with 10 times the articles of the tabernacle. Then the most holy had not only the original ark, but 2 standing cherubs guarding the symbol of divine presence. The temple was nearly a city unto itself, but it was not a sterile, empty place, but a place for people to worship and bring their offerings. People flowed in and out on a daily basis. Now we would like to come to the point of our lesson. This vast complex was managed by an enormous staff of priests and of Levites. One of David's last executive acts was to assemble the Levites and designate their appointment for the temple services. And the record begins in 1 Chronicles 23. This is the principal means by which David transferred the kingdom to Solomon. And we find this transfer reaffirmed in 1 Chronicles chapters 28 and 29. Note especially 1 Chronicles 28, 20 and 21. And David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work of the services of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God." This appointment of the Levites is not without precedence. In Numbers 3, verse 12, God took the Levites in place of the firstborns leaving Egypt. 48 cities were assigned to them, 6 of which were to be cities of refuge. And then there's Numbers 35, 1 through 8. In this ordering, we can see the divine arrangement and providence by which natural and spiritual Israel are served, instructed, and sanctified. We may also see in this something of the privilege and responsibility for all those who serve the Almighty's sanctuary. These various courses are set out in 1 Chronicles chapters 23 through 27. These chapters are devoted to the details pertaining to the temple services and service of the king. It was in their courses of service to the Lord that the priests could behold the divine order and inquire in his temple. As best we can determine, the 24 family heads were appointed from Levi's family tree here. Let's see if we have a... I don't see the pointer, but you can see Levi here on the left. Okay. We want to roll back a little bit. And the next. Okay. Here we are. Levi and his three main sons and their sons and their sons. Including some deduction in Merari's family here. These were by no means the only descendants of Levi. However, they are those fathers who had sufficient generations for the temple services. 1 Chronicles 23 opens with an account of 38,000 Levites divided into 24,000 and some lesser numbered groups. Verse 3 notes the Mosaic ordinance of 30 years of age for the Levitical service, according to Numbers chapter 4. However, in Numbers 8, verses 23 to 26, Moses was also accommodated those from 25 years of age, perhaps as assistants in training for 5 years. Here in 1 Chronicles 23, 24 and 27, the last words of David are to even lower that age to 20 for those to enter some level of service. However, we may at least regard those 24,000 as full age overseers and administrators for the work of Solomon's temple. All the Levites were organized into 24 courses for services, and you can count them here, except for the priests. From Amram was Moses and Aaron and their sons and their respective sons were separated for priests. The priests were not included in these groups, but were grouped separately into 24 other courses from those sons of Amram. As you see, these 16 sons and these 8 make 24 courses for the priests, these being 24 courses of Levites, yet all from Levi's family. The main divisions of service for the larger group of Levites are assigned as... Of these 24,000 were to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. And 6,000 were officers and judges. And 4,000 were gatekeepers. And 4,000 were praising the Lord with instruments which David made for giving praise. 1 Chronicles 23, 4 and 5. In chapter 27 are detailed at least another 24,000 members of a royal army from these Levites. The general duties of these Levites are recorded in 1 Chronicles 23, verses 28 to 32. Come on. There we are. Because of their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord in the courts and in the chambers, and in the purifying of holy things and the work of service of the house of God. Their duties were in the, their services were groups of 24,000 are detailed as follows. First, in the courts and in the inner courts. Second, in the chambers, both priests and treasure chambers. In the purification of holy things. In the service of the house of God. For showbread, meal offerings, unleavened cakes of all kinds. In the morning and evening to offer thanks and praise to the Lord. In the sacrifice for Sabbaths, new moons, and feast days. In the keeping of the charge of the Lord's house, the holy place, and the charge of the sons of Aaron in the house of the Lord. Everyone had their particular function and responsibility as priests in this holy temple. It is a peculiar feature of this ordinance that the various services and the term or season of their service was appointed by lot. Notice 1 Chronicles 24, 5 to 19. The lot was for the priests, the governors of the sanctuary. Thus they were divided by lot, one sort with another, for the governors of the sanctuary and the governors of the house of the Lord. In chapter 25, our signal is not picking that up too well. Let's try the... trying to advance our slide here, and our signal is not working. Let's go... oh, there we are. Well, we'll hold on to these two. In 1 Chronicles 25, 8 to 31, it was for the musicians. And in chapter 26, 13 to 14, were for the porters or keepers of the gates. Scripture makes it clear that the casting of lots, the divine sovereignty and decision was made manifest. We read that the lot is cast into the lap by its every decision is from the Lord. And also Proverbs 16:33 and Leviticus 16:8-10. There were 24 courses for the priests also noted in 1 Chronicles chapter 24. We have 24 lots cast for the 24 courses of Aaron's house, the priestly house of the tribe of Levi, who were the governors of God's house. They were the only ones allowed to enter the inner sanctuary of the temple of God. They performed the daily services in accepting and offering sacrifices of the people. The New Testament, in Luke 1, verse 5, makes an interesting notation that John the Baptist's father was a priest after the course of Abijah, mentioned here in 1 Chronicles 24, verse 10. It is God's choice where and when and how His redeemed will serve His temple. The casting of lots would remove all jealousy, fears, and favoritism or deceit. It would recognize the choice of the Lord as to the service. It was a functioning body, and each member worked to fulfill the service of the Lord and the Israel of God. So it is in the body of Christ. God set in the body the members, gifts, ministries, and functions as it pleases Him. We are not told the numbers of these under-priests, only that 24 courses served through the year. Likely each course served for 2 weeks, or perhaps two courses each month. Wouldn't it be interesting if we were to find that there were 6,000 in each course, totaling 144,000 appointments for a year. After appointing the priesthood, Chronicles returns to the larger group of those Levites. The 24 courses of singers and musicians are mentioned in chapter 25. In this chapter, David outlines the 24 courses of the 4,000 musicians. The ministry of music and song played a very important part in the temple services. Asaph is first mentioned in the heads of the musical families. He was also the composer of a number of the Psalms. The sons of Asaph, Hermon, and Jeduthan were separated for the service of music and song. The names of these fathers carry these important meanings. There was Asaph, meaning gatherer. He had four sons, 1 Chronicles 25:2. Jeduthan, meaning praise, had six sons, in verse 3. And Hermon, meaning faithful, had 14 sons, according to verses 4 and 5. Again, we have 24 sons from the fathers to head the appointments for praise. All were under the hands of their fathers for song and music in the house of the Lord. Notice the nature of their service. They sang and prophesied with instruments, verses 1 to 3. The students were first instructed in the melodies of the temple. Only then could they become teachers of the heavenly aria. And so it is in the school of Christ. We must first become students before we can become teachers. The song and music played an important part throughout Israel's history. The Song of Moses is the first recorded song in the Bible after the deliverance from the Egyptian bondage in Exodus 15. The Song of Deborah also rose out of victory over Israel's enemies, Judges chapter 5. The songs of David cover a wide range of subjects as seen in the Psalms, as we have just been reminded this day. It is those who stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion who sing the new song of Moses and the Lamb, Revelations 14, 1 to 3, and Revelation 15, verse 3. And no others can learn that song. The 24 courses of porters are mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 26. There were numerous gates into the temple, but all were specifically guarded. We are told there were 4,000 Levites set aside to be porters over the gates of the temple, and those who were over the treasure chambers. These were of Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. 1 Chronicles 26, verses 1, 10, and 21. The house of Obed-Edom was one of these, according to verses 4 through 8. This house was also blessed because of his faithful care for the Ark of the Covenant after it was defiled by Uzzah in 2 Samuel 6. All of these porters were mighty men of valor for service in the house of God. Such would be needed to guard the temple and court gates. I think we're one slide ahead, but we'll leave it there. The gatekeepers were also assigned by lot. We have 24 watching the gates on the north, south, east, and west. It would seem these were responsible for the division of the 4,000 porters superintending the temple watches both day and night. The charge laid on these porters was similar to that of the Levites by Moses for the service of the tabernacle in Numbers chapter 3. They were to watch at the gates of the house of the Lord, those outer and inner gates of the court, and at the doors of the temple. They were to watch that no unqualified person would enter those gates, so that no one unclean would defile the Lord's habitation. 2 Chronicles 23:19. They were to resist any disrespectful conduct, even of King Uzziah, when he presumed to enter the house of the Lord to burn incense instead of the priests. 2 Chronicles 26:18. And so these porters were like watchmen in their various places of responsibility. Their service included guarding the treasures and spoils of war. Now, a portion of these, noted here, were also appointed for outward business of Israel, the business of the Lord, and the service of the king, including guarding the wealth throughout the land and administrating taxes and tithes, as noted in chapter 26, 29 to 32. The lesson here is that God's people require wise overseers and visionaries to judge, counsel, and direct the affairs of his people in every age. They were consecrated to the ministry, Nehemiah 13:22. So members of the body of Christ today dedicate themselves to the service of the Lord, for his service, and for the treasures of his house and of his word. These are those who are the Lord's watchmen. In Ezekiel 33:17, and also Ezekiel 13:17, and also Ezekiel 33:7, and Isaiah 21:11-12. I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. The porter opens the door to the good shepherd, John 10:3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Our pastor was one of the faithful watchmen in just such a service. In the gates and foundations of the New Jerusalem, there are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel and also the 12 apostles of the Lamb. 24 names in all. Revelation 21:12-14. Now there are another vast royal army of Levites. They are the 12 courses or officers and captains, noticed in 1 Chronicles chapter 27. Here in chapter 27, David finally sets 12 captains or princes of Israel who serve for 12 months of the year in their particular course. Each prince had a legion of 24,000 men. These were the standing army of Israel, all enlisted in the king's service. Possibly, there were 24 regiments of 1,000 each, or 12 regiments of 2,000 each. In any case, 24,000 in the legion, being the largest division of the king's service. There were 12 legions according to the 12 tribes who served their term of service throughout the year. Each legion of 24,000 men served each month by rotation, stationed at Jerusalem or other places appointed by the king. We cannot be sure if it was a single legion of 24,000 with 12 rotating officers throughout the year, or if there were 24 legions for a standing army of 288,000, a double of 144,000. So also in the spiritual temple, there are those who are standing ready with the sword of the truth, ready to defend the cause of the king with the sword of the Spirit. Now we want to notice something in Gethsemane. While in Gethsemane, one of two swords was used by Peter. Jesus replied in Matthew 26, 53-54, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" Don't you think that one angel sent of the Heavenly Father would have been sufficient? But why did he say 12 legions of angels? He did not say an angel. He did not even say a multitude of angels. But he said, "He shall presently send me more than 12 legions of angels." Only a king could command such a legion of servants from among the Levites. With those few words, Jesus declared himself to be a king greater than Solomon, who could command the hosts of heaven, and who would administer all those who would become his own royal priesthood. The temple consists of more than gold, silver, and pillars. It is made up of the entire 24 courses of the priesthood, the 24 courses of attendant services, servants, and the 12 courses of the Levitical army. Jesus had more than these at his command from among the heavenly hosts. So it is also with the spiritual temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And then there is 1 Peter 2, verse 5. "Ye also are as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And finally, Revelation 21. "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great mountain, a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." When all the spiritual Levites have served their courses for the spiritual temple, then Jesus' prayer will be answered, and the Scriptures fulfilled. There will be more than 12 legions of angels, some serving in and others before the throne. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. It's sometimes amazing how much information and trouble the Heavenly Father went to put all these symbolisms in the Old Testament for us. And they don't mean anything until you really understand the symbology of what he had.